Well, good evening to you all. This has been a long time coming for me. I think it's been about two months in the making. It seems like years ago that I was up here the last time with you all, but it was actually only about a month ago the last time that I was here, and I've been looking forward to this very, very much, to come and work with you all, to come and work with Scott, and to grow together in the Lord's body as we all move towards our home in heaven with our Father. I really appreciated what Scott said. Good, it's working. I wasn't sure if it was going to work or not. I really appreciate what Scott said this morning from 1 and 2 Timothy, kind of defining what I'm going to be doing here at this church with you all over the course of this next year. And I was kind of worried whenever he started because I planned on talking about that tonight. And I was hoping that he wasn't going to continue with it, but it was just kind of an introduction. I am going to be working with Scott as the second evangelist here in a training type of environment. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about the work of an evangelist, really for two main reasons. One, so that you all will know exactly why I'm here. There are a lot of things that are pretty obvious that go unspoken, and I don't think that's how they should be. They should be spoken and put out in the open so that everyone knows what's going on. And I want you all to know that for the second reason, so that you all can encourage me, and so that you all can pray for me, and so that you all will be able to work with me together as we all grow together. You know, evangelists often in the secular world get kind of put on a higher tier than the regular Christian. Well, evangelists are just Christians. I'm just a Christian. I'm a follower of God, just like you all are. And we're all working together to glorify Him. And I'm excited to do that with you all this year. Open up your Bible to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in Acts 16. I want to talk about Timothy and really look hard at Timothy as an evangelist, because I identify, I think, really, really well, especially with Acts 16 Timothy. And I want to identify really well with the rest of the Bible story of Timothy. Let's start reading here in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1. It says, Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them the observance and the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. The thing that I want us to all see about Timothy here and about evangelists, and it's pretty obvious when you think about it, but in order to be an evangelist, in order to fulfill the work of an evangelist, you have to go where the people are. One of the really respected men in my life back in Louisville, he served as a shepherd of the church that I was a part of in Louisville. He told me over and over, almost every single time that he saw me, I think that he's about 80 years old, maybe 90, and he would come and he would walk over with his cane and grab my arm so I couldn't get away from him, and he would say, Jonathan, if you want to preach, don't forget the people. And I thought, yeah, Reggie, it's kind of hard to forget the people. They're sitting down in front of me every single time that I preach. But I think what he was really trying to get at is preaching is all about the people, right? It's all about saving people. It's all about telling people about Christ and about the gospel. And in order to do that, you need to go where the people are. Timothy did that, and that's the most impressive thing that I see about Timothy starting his work as an evangelist. He was a native of Lystra, and Paul came and said, I'm going on a missionary journey. Do you want to come with me too? And he said, yes. And they went, and he immediately got to work. And I know that he immediately got to work. I know that he wasn't just kind of Paul's assistant because of things that I read in the later letters that Paul wrote. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, and Scott brought this verse up just a little bit this morning. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said this about Timothy to the Philippians. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how he as a son with a father has served me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it goes well with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will also come. Paul said, you know Timothy's proven worth. Well, if you read further on in Acts 16, where Timothy first joined Paul, just a few verses later they went to Philippi. I can only assume that that was maybe a few weeks. After a few weeks of working with Paul, Timothy assumed that role as an evangelist. He didn't use his lack of knowledge or his lack of experience as an excuse to not get right to work. And in a moment of total transparency, you all need to know something about me. I lack a lot of knowledge, and I lack a lot of experience as an evangelist, as a full-time evangelist. I haven't done it. I'm 23 years old. I haven't fulfilled that role yet in my life. And that's why I'm here. That's one of the main reasons why I'm here, to work with a man, with Scott, who you all know Scott's proven worth in the gospel, probably more than I do. And I really respect Scott a lot. I respect the shepherds here a lot. And I don't think that I told you all thank you for letting me come and take this role in order to work with you all and to grow myself as we all grow together in the Word of God and in the gospel, so that we can reach the lost here and that we can all grow up in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's why I'm here, so that I myself can train under a man who I respect very much, just like Timothy was training under Paul. And so there are three things that I want to bring up, three works of the evangelist that I want to talk about this morning or this evening. And if you're taking notes, you can kind of prepare for these. I'll give them to you right now. The first work that an evangelist needs to do is to equip himself and discipline himself for godliness. The second work is to equip the saints for godliness. And the third, which falls under really both of those, is in everything to present the truth. No matter what, present the truth. That's the call of an evangelist. So let's go ahead and get started. Train yourself for godliness. Look over in the first letter written to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says this to Timothy: "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." You know, the New American Standard Version, I believe, actually replaces that word "train yourself" with "discipline yourself." And that's really the direction that every Christian needs to be moving in, not just evangelists. We need to be moving in the direction of godliness. That's why we call ourselves Christians. Right? Christians are followers of Christ. We're supposed to be constantly transforming ourselves into the image of his Son. But it's especially important for evangelists, because if an evangelist isn't disciplining themselves, who's going to listen to them? All right, look what Paul had to say over in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be moving quite a bit through the Bible this morning. I hope you'll read all these passages with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, This is Paul's attitude towards the work of an evangelist as an evangelist himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run in a way that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating against the air. But I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." We often think about discipline as kind of a negative thing sometimes. I know that I did. Whenever I think of the word discipline — I can say this now because my dad's not here, he was here this morning — whenever I think of the word discipline, I picture my dad coming at me with either a belt or a paddle or a switch or whatever was readily available to discipline me. And that was a pretty negative memory in my life. But discipline is necessary for growth. And God has designed discipline to be that way. And for an evangelist, it's especially important. I remember whenever I first started running in an athletic setting — I enjoy running quite a bit, which is kind of crazy to some people, but I really, really like running. I used to not. I started running when I was in, I think, sixth grade in an athletic way. And whenever I started running track, I think my worst recorded mile time was about 12 minutes. And for those of y'all that don't know what a good mile time is, there are people in the world that can run a mile in 4 minutes. So that was about three times as slow as the fastest people could do it. It was awful. And I hated track practice. I was so bad at it, and I wasn't really good at disciplining myself to stick with it. Imagine with me just for a second that, let's say, after my first track practice in sixth grade, an angel appears to me after my practice. And he takes me into this vision, into the 2024 Olympics. And I'm there in the stands with all the people in the Olympics, and everyone's going crazy, and the 100-meter dash is about to start on the track. And the runners take their blocks, and they go off, the gun goes off, and they start running, and immediately an American takes off in front of the crowd, and he's a couple of lengths ahead of everyone, and he's just running faster than anyone's ever seen, and he crosses the finish line, and it's a world record, and everyone's going crazy, and it's awesome. And then I'm back at my track practice with the angel. He says to me, "Jonathan, that Olympic world record-setting runner is you in a few years, but you have to practice." And then he just disappears. I imagine that I would go into my next track practice with a much different attitude about disciplining myself, knowing the end result for that discipline. Well, we as Christians, we don't have a vision that, you know, we need to have. We know what our end goal is for disciplining ourselves, and that's Christ-likeness. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul describes what the people of God have to look forward to after disciplining themselves. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." We as Christians and evangelists training ourselves for godliness, disciplining ourselves for godliness, are doing that to achieve Christ-likeness, to be like God. There's no greater calling in the world, Olympic world-setting athlete, world record-breaking athlete, or anything else that you can imagine that measures up to being like Christ. And that's why it's so vitally important. And the means to that ends, the way that we achieve Christ-likeness, the way that evangelists train themselves for godliness, is through the ways that God has prescribed. I don't want to go into a lot of detail into all of these. I actually plan on later on this year talking about some of these individual aspects of Christianity that we all need to be implementing into our lives in order to achieve Christ-likeness, to be more like God. But Bible reading, spending time in His Word, evangelism itself is a discipline that needs to be learned by every Christian. Prayer, serving, stewardship, fasting, worship, perseverance, all of these things are ways that we grow up in the body of Christ. And the life of an evangelist must first be devoted to Christ Himself before he can go to that second discipline that I want to talk about, of equipping the saints. Equipping the saints really simply is making other evangelists. Evangelists preach and they evangelize so they make other evangelists. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you're like me, I like to get rid of the subtitles that are in my Bible and title them myself so that I remember. Ephesians chapter 4 is really the chapter of unity. Unity with each other in the body of Christ and unity with Christ Himself. And in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, Paul says, "And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and He gave the shepherds and the teachers for this purpose, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so we all attain a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God to a mature manhood, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer tossed like children to and fro on the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together, and every joint from which it is equipped, when it is working properly, makes the body grow up, and so that it builds itself up in love." The work of an evangelist is to teach about Jesus Christ. It goes back to the first work of an evangelist. After an evangelist devotes himself to Christ, and after he has disciplined himself for godliness, and continues to do that in his life, now he can teach other people how to do that. And that's the purpose of evangelism, to create more saints. And Jesus actually, he condemns people that teach but don't practice what they teach. Right? You remember in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 is the famous passage of the seven woes to the Pharisees. And before he gets to the seven woes, he has this to say about the religious elites, about the leaders of the religion that weren't following their own preaching. He said in verse 2, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and so do observe what they tell you, but not their works that they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. They do all of their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the places of honor at the feast, and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The way that evangelists equip the saints is largely done through example, but it needs to be done through the correct example. It needs to be done through the example that Paul told Timothy to be an example in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look back over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Right after he told Timothy to commit himself to godliness, to train himself for the purpose of godliness, in verse 11 of chapter 4 in 1 Timothy, Paul says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and in conduct and in love and in faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to exhortation and to teaching. And that's all done for the glory of God. I need to challenge myself when I'm working with you all to equip you all for the work of godliness, in order to train yourself for godliness by the way that I act. And I need your all's help in doing that. We're all part of this body together. We're all part of the body of Christ working together, and we all lean on each other. But evangelists are just servants in the body. We're just another part in the body, full-time evangelists are. And it's through the help of the body that we can all grow together and that we can all set this good example and be like Christ and be living in a world with good speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And it's ultimately that's ultimately what every single Christian needs to do, but especially an evangelist. And this is kind of a lengthy reading, but we've been kind of reading a lot of lengthy passages so far. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, Paul says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, and not the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these things you once too walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is neither Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. And in verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The purpose of everything, and especially of evangelism, is to glorify God. That's why we're here on this earth, to glorify God and to show other people God and show other people Christ. And that really leads into the last work of an evangelist that I want to talk about this evening. And that's in everything, present the truth. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 3. We'll start in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16, Paul says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This book right here is the Word of God. I don't know if you ever thought about how amazing that really is, that the Creator of the universe put everything that you need to know about Him and about life in this book. And you can read that anytime. And right after God told Timothy the power of this book, the power of the Word of God, He gave him a charge. He gave him a command of what he was supposed to use that for. In the very next chapter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4, He says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." He doesn't say preach a word. He doesn't say preach some of the word. He says preach the word. The Word of God. "Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Evangelists take the truth, they take the Word of the God into the world, and they teach it to the people of God. And we have examples and commands for both of those. The Great Commission, Jesus told His disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who is not will be condemned. And Paul just told Timothy to preach the word, but he told him specifically to preach the word to the Christians. Scott brought this verse up here this morning, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "If you put these things before the brothers," the things that Paul was telling Timothy, "if you put the word before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith of the good doctrine that you have followed." It's the responsibility of an evangelist to present God's truth, not his own opinion, but God's truth. So when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what I say, and it doesn't really matter what Scott says, and it doesn't really matter what any other man that gets up here and preaches says. It matters what God says. And that can really be received in two ways. It can be received in a reasonable way, and it can be received in a really unreasonable way. And I want to call you all to receive it in a reasonable way. Whenever, whether it's me up here talking, or it's Scott talking, or another man, or anyone else that comes, be like the Bereans, who received the truth of God in a reasonable way. In Acts chapter 17, whenever Paul arrived in Berea, and he was teaching them about Christ, he was teaching them the gospel, we're told about the noble mind that the Jews there had, and how they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true. Search the scriptures. No matter what I say or Scott says, it doesn't matter if it's something that you agree with. It needs to be in God's word. And so find it in God's word. Don't receive it in an unreasonable way. Whenever Paul later on in that journey, he went to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, and there was basically a riot that formed because of the truth that was being preached. And no one wanted to hear the truth. They just wanted to be right. They just wanted the thing that made them feel good to happen. And that's an unreasonable way that the word can be received. But the ultimate purpose, whether it's received reasonably or unreasonably, is to save souls. That's why the gospel is preached. Look back over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this to Timothy, "Keep a close watch," in verse 16, "keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will both save yourself and your hearers." I thought a lot about this in my life, about evangelizing for the purpose of saving people. And I had a moment in my life, I think it was about 3 years ago, where I was talking to one of the men that I respect very much, and I've always kind of struggled with public speaking and with speaking forward the Lord, as I know a lot of people do. And it doesn't make any sense why we should be ashamed of Christ and ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. We have the words of salvation here. And so many times we get afraid of telling that to people. And why? Well, why do I get afraid of telling people that God loves them and that God came to this earth and He died for them to save their soul? That's amazing news. That's great news. That's the gospel, the good news of Christ. And I look up to Paul so much as an evangelist and how he approached that task that he was given. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul's attitude towards evangelism. This is really what the work of an evangelist boils down to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 16, Paul says, For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if I do not of my own will, I am still entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as to not make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win the Jews. And to those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, that I might win those under the law. And to those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I myself might win those outside of the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Paul was doing the work of an evangelist in his life. And he was doing it, he was doing that work because of the name that he had decided to take on himself, the name of a Christian. You can't call yourself a Christian and not evangelize. I heard a story about a man somewhere in the Northwest who was converted to Christianity. And he went and he told his employer about that. And his employer was, you know, really ecstatic and happy about that. And he said, "Oh, good, I'm a Christian too. I've been praying for you. I'm glad to hear that." And the employee said, "Well, how can that be? You're the very reason why I wasn't converted in the first place." And the employer was kind of taken aback and shocked at that. And he said, "Well, I've done my very best to live a good life and to set a good example for you and to be the good man that I need to be so that you could see that." And the employee said, "Yeah, that's exactly the point. I saw you living a good and happy life and being a good person, and you never told me that it was Christ who made the difference. And so I convinced myself that if he can do it without Christ, I can do it without Christ." There are people that we see each and every day who don't know Christ. And they need to know Christ, just like we need to know Christ, and just like we know Christ. And it's our responsibility not to go out and to be a good example, but to go out and speak for Christ, to tell people that it's Christ who makes the difference in our life. And we do that because we love people. And we love people because God loves people. And that's the attitude that Paul had. Well, you don't have to turn over there. I'll just read it for you really quickly. In Romans chapter 9, the attitude that Paul had towards people is this. In Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1, he said, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears witness to the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Paul, if it was possible, loved the Israelites, loved the Jews so much that he would have sacrificed his soul for their salvation. And he had that same attitude towards the Gentiles in the very next chapter in Romans chapter 10. He said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is that they themselves may be saved." Evangelists need to work to save people through the power of Christ. And we do that because of love. This next year is going to present some challenges. It's going to present some challenges for me. It's going to present some challenges for you all. It's going to present some challenges for Scott and for our shepherds here. But we started this morning saying challenges are good. They're necessary. You need resistance in order to grow. Right, whenever you're growing up, whenever you're younger, you have those growth pains. Or whenever you want to increase in physical strength, you need to add more weight to what you're actually lifting. And so there are some certain things that we need to do that we can do in order to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this next year together. And the things that I want you all to do are really very simple. As I'm working to discipline myself for godliness and to help equip you all with Scott and to help speak the truth and to save souls here in this community. These are the things that I want you all to help me do that with, to pray for me, to encourage me, to ask me questions. If I say something up here that's contrary to the Word of God, let me know. Be my friend and tell me, because I want to grow just like you all. And above all of that, we need to love each other. I have no reservations in telling you all. I just met you, but I love you all. And I hope that you love me, too. And I know that you all do, because you all have received me very well in this first day that we started working together. Because without love, there's really no point to what we're trying to do here. And Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When he was talking to the Corinthians, he said, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith as to remove mountains but not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing." Love is so important because Christ loves people, so we need to love people. God is love. And as we move forward in this year, and as I'm training myself in the work of an evangelist with Scott, I want you all to be completely aware of what I'm doing in that. Training myself for godliness. Helping you all to train yourselves for godliness as we all work towards presenting the truth in everything in this community. I'm really excited about this next year. I hope you guys are too. And if there's anything that ever comes up in this next year, please bring it to my attention that I'm doing incorrectly. And I'll try to do the same for you all as we work together with the Word of God to glorify God and give Him the glory that He deserves. One thing that I actually want to do, now that I actually wasn't going to say this, but this is a great opportunity as any. One thing that I want to do, and it might sound a little bit lame, but I want to be your all's friend above all else. And I want you all to be my friend. And I want to make you all aware, I'm planning on, I just got the directory, the contact information from Wilson tonight of everyone, so I know where all of you all live and all of your phone numbers. And I'm planning on, hopefully in the next month, I think I can get it done in a month, maybe in the next month and a half or 2 months. But I want to come and visit with each and every one of you all to learn about you so that y'all can learn about me. And I'm not trying to invite myself into your home. Y'all can come to wherever I live, wherever that ends up. I'm currently homeless right now, but we'll figure out something. And just to learn about each other, just to know each other. Because relationships in the church are so important. And I'm really looking forward to the relationship that we're going to form over this next year. We haven't talked a whole lot about salvation, or about the gospel, or about the plan that was set forth by God for all eternity. But if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord, and if you haven't been baptized into the waters of baptism, and you haven't put on that new self that we talked about, you need to do that. And if you have done that, and you've fallen short, there's a church family here that is ready to pray with you, that's ready to help you and ready to encourage you, in order to work towards that godliness that we're all trying to achieve. So whatever you need to do, please come forward and make that known while we stand and sing this song.